Well, I wanted to spend a few moments this morning talking to you about the call that you have on your life because you are a follower of Christ Jesus. You know, we heard this morning in our Old Testament lesson the story of young Samuel. Samuel's being called by the Lord. And interestingly, it takes a full 10 verses and no less than 3 attempts by the Lord before Samuel finally realizes what's going on. Did you notice that? On 3 separate occasions, the Lord calls out to Samuel, and without exception, each time Samuel gets up and he walks over to the priest of the temple, a guy named Eli, and he says, Samuel says, "Here I am," only to have Eli say, "What are you talking about? I didn't call you." I find it fascinating how in the 3rd chapter of 1 Samuel, it begins by letting us know what's going on. It says that in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. That's in the temple. The word of the Lord, rare. In those days, there were not many visions. In those days, Eli, the priest, the temple representative of God, right here on earth, as he aged, his eyes were becoming weak, so weak that he could barely, in the physical, he could not see. We can see that temple, it was in a crisis of sorts. It really was. The word of the Lord's not known there. There's no visioning by the temple leadership for the future of God's house. And not without coincidence, the priest in charge of the temple, Eli, is actually losing his physical sight. Now listen, if we were to back up and we were to go into those first 2 chapters of Samuel, we'd read about that priest Eli, and we'd learn that he had not lived up to his priestly obligations and had not been a godly man. And here's the deal, he had also not raised godly sons. In fact, the 2 sons he did raise, they were named Hophni and Phinehas, and they were priests of the temple, just like their father. But the Bible calls them wicked. So the temple is in a bad way. In fact, even as Eli's aging and losing his physical sight, we're also told that the lamp of God had not yet gone out. In other words, it's looking pretty dim in the temple, but that light had not yet gone out. God has a plan. And that's what we hear about right out of the gates of 1 Samuel chapter 3. We hear about his plan. The plan is for Samuel. He's a boy who's serving in the temple underneath that priest Eli. Verse 1 and verse 7 give us an interesting contrast. I don't know if you caught this, but follow it. Let's look at it. Verse 1, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. Now, a little further up, verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. That's kind of strange, isn't it? Whatever business the temple is about, it doesn't seem to be about the business of God. That's a problem. And it's no wonder that God wants to usher in change. And the understudy to the priest in charge of the temple, despite living and sleeping in the temple, that poor understudy doesn't even know the Lord. And the priest of the temple, well, he hasn't even revealed the word of the Lord to that understudy. I have to wonder, quite honestly, if that's not a picture in the Old Testament of so many of today's so-called Christian churches. Folks are in the church, but the word of the Lord isn't. But oh, how fascinating that God still has a plan. In this story, God calls Samuel 3 times, in fact, and to send home the message that Samuel, the priest in training, doesn't even know the Lord, we see him hear God's voice. And instead of opening his ears, opening his eyes, opening his heart to the one who's calling him, he reports to the corrupt priest instead. It's not until the 9th verse of that 3rd chapter that Eli even catches on. And he realizes that his understudy is actually being called from the Lord. And I would bet you that made old Eli pretty nervous. That's when Eli tells Samuel, well, go and lay down, and if he calls you again, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Verse 10, the Lord came and stood there calling as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. And then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. Now I want you to keep that story right there in your mind for a moment, and I want you to fast forward over to our gospel account this morning. John's first chapter. We learn that Jesus, he's out and about, and he's calling. He's calling his disciples. He's already found Andrew. He's already found Peter. So in verse 43, we begin this morning, and it says that Jesus finds Philip, and he tells him these two simple words, follow me. Our lectionary scriptures today give us a contrast and a comparison of an Old Testament calling by God when young Samuel is called, and then a New Testament calling by God when Philip is called. But something else very interesting happens in John's first chapter. Right after Jesus finds and calls Philip, Philip, not Jesus, the newly called disciple, Philip, finds and calls Nathanael. Did you catch that? Because I've got to tell you, I've read that gospel account I don't know how many times, countless, countless times. And quite honestly, it was not until yesterday, after our little leadership book study over there in the conference room yesterday morning, where we met in that conference room, that after that, I went over to the office and I started to write down some notes about this scripture that I'd been reading and praying on all week that I was going to preach on this morning. And it was in that office, after that meeting, that it leapt out off the page that Philip, not Jesus, called Nathanael. Philip, not Jesus, made a disciple out of Nathanael. Back over to that conference room for a moment. About a dozen of us from Good Shepherd have been gathering on Saturday mornings, right over there. And we've been getting together and we pray for this church. And we read and we discuss a book entitled A Second Resurrection, Leading Your Congregation to New Life. It's written by a man named Reverend Bill Easom. And in that book, the author, Bill Easom, he asserts without equivocation a direct correlation between the life and death of a church congregation with the degree to which the people of the congregation are true to the calling of the Great Commission that Jesus commands of each and every one of his followers. And that command is to do what? It's to go out and make disciples of all the world. You see, Reverend Easom's contention, as we're learning in our book study, is quite simple. Church congregations that are spiritually alive follow the Great Commission. They go out and they bring people to the Lord. Likewise, Easom says, spiritually dead churches don't do that. My question to you this morning is, do you realize, dear Christian, that you have a call on your life, every single one of us? Do you realize that you are called not to be an Eli? In other words, if you're just hanging out in the temple because it's what you've done your entire life, God's going to lose his patience with you because you're not being obedient, because you're not sharing the word of the Lord, because you're not visioning for a future of his house, his temple, because you're not going out and making disciples. But you do have a call on your life. Jesus gave those two words this morning. He said, follow me. That's part of your call. And then, by example, to be like Philip, a follower of Christ, who clearly practiced that great commission even before Jesus declared it as such. Philip, well, we might say it around here, he brought a friend to church. he went out and he found Nathanael, and he brought him to the Lord. And that's what we're all called to do. Jesus declared it in Matthew 28:19. He said, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." My question to you this morning, Good Shepherd, do you accept that calling? It's a question that each and every one of us has to answer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to study your word this morning. Lord, we ask that you open up our hearts to the movement of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord, we ask that you find a way, as you always do. You make a way where there's seemingly no way. Lord, we ask that you forgive us for those times in the past where we've been disobedient, but that you open our eyes toward being obedient followers of Christ. It's not about the bumper sticker on the back of our car or the chain we wear around our neck, Lord. It's about being a disciple made in the image of God who goes out and declares to all the world the good news. And that good news is the name of your Son, our risen Lord and Savior. His name is Jesus. He is the Messiah, the Christ. And it's in his name that we offer this prayer. And all God's children said, Amen.